Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Anti-Semitism is a way of referring to this prejudice against the Jewish people. Now, once again, let me just clarify, don't get sidetracked with, well, what about all the other groups of people that are being persecuted? How come you're just talking about the Jews and all that? That's not our objective today. My objective is to show the truth of what the Bible is saying about Satan's war against Israel. And I want to show you that the only way to understand history is to understand it from the perspective of the scriptures.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, in a message titled, The Woman and the Dragon. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
In all of these attempts to annihilate or assimilate Israel by these leading world powers, Satan was the force behind it. But then, because all of this, of course, I think was an attempt to prevent the Messiah from coming, but of course, God overrules and the Messiah does come. But then when Jesus comes, just as we read here in the text, the dragon is there before the woman waiting for the birth of this child so he might devour it. Now, remember, Satan he did not know when Jesus was going to come any more than anybody else did. So all throughout their history, he's looking to see when that moment might come, and he's trying to prevent it from happening. But then it does happen. He's not able to stop it. Jesus comes, but he seeks to destroy Christ before he can accomplish his mission. And so we see from the very beginning, Jesus is born, and what happens? Immediately, Herod seeks to destroy the child. And you remember the story there, the Magi, they come from the east. They hear that this king of the Jews is born. They come to Jerusalem and they're asking the question, where is the one who is born the king of the Jews? Herod gets wind of this. And so he calls the scribes together. He says, where's the Messiah to be born? They said in Bethlehem. That's what the prophet said. And so what does Herod do? He sends out his forces and he commands them to destroy all of the male children in Bethlehem 2 years old and under. He's going to try to wipe out the Messiah before he can ever accomplish his mission. So, of course, we see the satanic inspiration behind that. But as we go on through the life of Jesus, you see many occasions where there are attempts to destroy Jesus. Think of the story in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is in the synagogue in Nazareth. And this is at the very beginning of his ministry, and he declares to them that he's the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. Behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and so forth. Jesus reads that passage and he says, today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. And instead of embracing him, they become enraged that he would suggest that he's the fulfillment. And it says that they drove him out of the synagogue to the edge of the cliff upon which the city was built, and they sought to throw him over the cliff. They attempted to kill Jesus. And as we follow along in his ministry, we find that oftentimes it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Herodians, they were all conspiring together. They were all looking for opportunities to silence him. They were all looking for opportunities to kill him. And finally, of course, the chief priests and the Roman authorities did conspire, and they thought that they accomplished their mission. They put Jesus to death, but he rose from the dead and then ascended to heaven. And that's what we have here, that the male child, he was caught up to God and his throne. Now, again, the point that I'm making is the satanic inspiration behind all of this activity. And lest you think I'm just exaggerating the case, remember in the Gospels, it says in regard to Judas, that Satan entered Judas and Judas betrayed Jesus. So you see, the devil was behind the whole thing there. So he doesn't, he's unable to stop the plan of God in bringing the Messiah into the world. All of his efforts to wipe out the nation or to corrupt them so thoroughly through false religion, everything fails. God brings his promise to fruition. Jesus comes, he dies, he rises again, he ascends to heaven. But the persecution of the Jew doesn't stop. The hatred of the dragon doesn't stop at that point. And so now we're looking at the history of Israel or the history of the Jewish people after the time of Christ. And one of the things that stands out in an extraordinary way when you look at the history of the Jewish people is the persecution of the Jews. And it is a historical fact that there has never been a people in all of history that have been persecuted like the Jewish people have. Now, that's not to take away from the fact that other people have been oppressed and are still oppressed. It's not to take away from other attempted genocides that have occurred over the centuries. Of course, you know, all of those things are realities and they're horrible realities. But the truth of the matter is there's never been a people group that have suffered and been persecuted and hated among the nations like has been the case with the Jews. From Roman times down through the ages, persecution of the Jews has been national policy in one country after another. It's really astounding when you look at some of these things. So from the dispersion of the nation in 70 AD, now 70 AD, the Romans, they destroy Jerusalem, they slaughter a huge number of Jews. It's debatable as to how many were slaughtered at the time, but some say that over 100,000 were slaughtered and 1 million were carried off into captivity at that point. Nobody knows the exact numbers, but there was a destruction. They were carried off. So from AD 70 to the time of the Holocaust in Europe, Jews have suffered one persecution after another in almost every nation that they have found themselves in. And of course, under Hitler, and some of us would know these things better than others, but under Hitler and the Nazis, 6 million Jews were murdered from the years 1933 to 1945. And that is a number that is so staggering. It's almost inconceivable to think of that number of people. And it wasn't limited to Hitler and the Nazis. There was a complicity in many of the surrounding nations to destroy the Jews. And many nations of the world were involved in either directly attempting to destroy them or preventing them from finding refuge and so forth. And, you know, when you read the history, if you've read any history of the 20th century or the Second World War, the rise and the fall of the Third Reich, those kinds of things, all of this stuff is just, it's unbelievable. It's inconceivable almost that this actually happened in the world. In his opening statement for the prosecution at the Nuremberg trial, and for those of you that don't know, the Nuremberg trial was the trials of the remaining Nazi leaders. They were tried after the war was finished and they were sentenced and so forth. But in his opening statement, the prosecution there at the trial, Justice Robert Jackson, he said this. He said, "History does not record a crime perpetrated against so many victims or ever carried out with such calculated cruelty." So he said there's nothing like this in history. And he was right. Nothing like this in history.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Now, here's my point. I have a few points, but one of the main points that I want us to understand today is that this thing that we're talking about, this persecution of the Jewish people throughout history, the biblical explanation for this is that the dragon has been at war with the woman from the beginning, trying to destroy the woman and ultimately thwart the plan and purpose of God. That, I think, is really, in the end, the only satisfactory explanation for this unique experience of the Jewish people. Now, this isn't over. It isn't over. And that's the thing that's, of course, tragic and frightening. But the dragon will make one final attempt to destroy the woman. And that's what this chapter is telling us about. And look with me just real quickly at verses 13 and 17. Verse 13 says, "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." Then verse 17, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring." Now, for our purposes here right now, we're going to concentrate on the woman as the nation collectively. As we get into our chapter study, we'll get into more of the details here and a little more clarity on the woman in certain places here, being a reference to the believing remnant. But like I said, for our purposes, we want to look at the long war against Israel that is being waged by Satan. And here's another question. Is there anything happening in our world today that could lead us to believe that Satan is still attempting to destroy the woman and thwart the reign of the male child who is to rule all nations? So is all of this stuff we're talking about, is this just history past? Or is there anything currently happening that would lead us to believe that this war still goes on and it still has its climactic moments in the future? And I think just in looking at the current situation around the world and the current mentality that exists and is growing toward Jews worldwide, I think we're going to have to conclude that the dragon is still very much at war with the woman. So what I want to do is I just want to go through some current information. All of this is up to date. Much of the stuff if you're paying close attention to the news, you would have heard about it over the last couple of weeks. That's how fresh much of this stuff is here. And it has to do with anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a way of referring to this prejudice against the Jewish people. Now, once again, let me just clarify, don't get sidetracked with, well, what about all the other groups of people that are being persecuted? How come you're just talking about the Jews and all of that? That's not our objective today. My objective is to show the truth of what the Bible is saying about Satan's war against Israel. And I want to show you that the only way to understand history is to understand it from the perspective of the scriptures. That's the only way to really be able to understand why things have been the way they've been for Israel and why they are as they are today. So currently, are there things happening around us that would indicate that this war is still going on? I want to start here in the U.S. and I want to just kind of move around the world with it. Currently, right now, this is news, right, you know, hot off the press. In New York City, the City University, which has a long history, which has been known in the past as the Jewish Harvard, because many of you know New York City was the home of, at one time, 10 million Jews, and many of them have gone through the City University there in New York. But something's happened recently that has got the attention of a number of people in the media. There is suddenly this very anti-Semitic sentiment that has risen up on the campuses. There's a number of campuses around the city of this university. And Jews are feeling very unwelcome, and there's a lot of hostility being directed toward them right now. I think it was the New York Times wrote about it. I saw an interview on one of the news stations about what's happening there. But it comes down to this, that there is a growing hostility toward the Jewish student population. And things like this are now becoming frequent. They're calling for Jews to be expelled from the university. They're not welcome there. One of the professors at Brooklyn College, in a faculty meeting, was referred to as a Zionist pig, a Jewish professor. Jewish students are being verbally harassed. And now, here's the troubling thing. As troubling as that is, the more troubling thing is that as these reports are coming to the administration, and as they're going even beyond the university's administration, and they're coming to the mayor and the city council, nobody seems to want to do much about this. So it's a very eerie similarity between things that we've seen in history in the past. So this is happening in New York, and I'm sure there are other places in the U.S. where we could find similar kinds of things going on. But if we jump across the Atlantic to the U.K., where there has been, quite frankly, a long history of anti-Semitism dating all the way back to the medieval period. At Oxford University, recently, there have been some things that have transpired there where a young leader of the Oxford University Labor Club, a non-Jewish leader, resigned as the co-chair of the club, alleging that many members of the club were openly anti-Semitic. And he began to sense this anti-Semitism, and he just thought, I don't want to have anything to do with this. So he stepped out of this. But this has drawn the attention of the media. And just to read from an article here, it says, leftist student politics in Britain has become poisonous with varying attitudes toward Jews. So the attitudes, casual anti-Semitism, fantasies of Jewish conspiracy theories, organized harassment and bullying. For some time, there has been disquiet over reports in the universities of anti-Jewish racism, verbal abuse against Jews, and prejudice against Jews. So this is happening in England, and specifically in Oxford. But then you go to Europe itself. And this is a very interesting article from The Guardian. The Guardian is one of the leading London newspapers. And the interview with Dieter Graumann, who's president of Germany's Central Council of Jews, he told The Guardian, listen, these are the worst times since the Nazi era. On the streets, you hear things like the Jews should be gassed, the Jews should be burned. We haven't had that in Germany for decades. Anyone saying those slogans isn't criticizing Israeli politics. It's just pure hatred against Jews, nothing else. And it's not just a German phenomenon. Now, of course, the whole Holocaust and all of that, it originated in Germany. But this is, like he said, it's not just a German phenomenon. Many Jews are leaving France today. They're feeling like they're being driven out of France. The terrorist attacks in Paris recently, Jews were the targets of many of those terrorist attacks. So this is happening across Europe. I was with some friends yesterday from Holland, from the Amsterdam area. And just in conversation, they were telling me about how Jewish people right now in Holland are feeling so unsafe that they don't want to reveal their Jewish identity. So this anti-Semitism that you would have thought was purged after the Holocaust, and as a matter of fact, for many years in Germany, if you expressed openly anti-Semitism, you could be prosecuted. If you denied the Holocaust, like some people have done, that was a crime in Germany. But all of those things are rapidly changing. And so we just see like an increasing anti-Jewish sentiment that's developing around the world. But I don't think it's seen, at least in policy, I don't think it's seen any more clearly anywhere than in the United Nations. It is absolutely astounding, the position of the UN on the nation of Israel. It is inconceivable the way Israel is viewed in the UN. And I just want to give you some examples here. So Robert Wistrich, he's of the Vidal Sassoon International Center for the Study of Antisemitism. He said, "The deplorable combination of discrimination, delegitimization, and double standards at the United Nations has in recent decades been a lethal source of globalized antisemitism. If the double standard of treating Israel profoundly differently than other UN members isn't antisemitism, then consider the following." So the UN has this very blatant bias against the nation of Israel, but they say, oh no, there's no bias here. There's no double standard. We're just trying to be fair. That's usually what they say in response. But consider these things. The UN Human Rights Council. Israel is the only nation in the world that has a standing agenda item against it at every session of the UN Human Rights Council. So think about that. It's not North Korea or China or Pakistan or Syria or Sudan or Iran. The council has never condemned any of those nations for violation of human rights. But they regularly condemn Israel for violations of human rights. I mean, that in and of itself is just almost inconceivable. From 2006 to 2013, Israel has been subjected to 45 condemnation resolutions. No other nation in the world has come close to that. In resolutions from 1947 to 91, there were 300 General Assembly resolutions against Israel. In 2012, there were 22 resolutions specifically against Israel, while there were only 4 for the rest of the whole world combined. So you'd have to be absolutely blind to miss the bias here. So the UN Security Council, that's where the power lies. Israel's the only member state that has not and cannot serve on the Security Council. From 1948 to 2010, there were 77 resolutions directly aimed at Israel. No other nation on earth even comes close to this record of infamy.
We're pleased to have Pastor Brian and Cheryl Brodesen back in the studios with us once again to discuss this month's resource.
I love the stories of people, and you feel like you know these people. And I think what I see a lot in the culture around us, even in the States, is this fear of, you know, Muslims or people who are coming out of Syria and some of these countries, not knowing that there is such an openness to the Lord, and that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised in John chapter 16, has already gone before convicting. A lot of them had dreams, a lot of them had visions, and they were totally prepared for salvation. And it is astounding to read these stories. There's one story, I won't get into it, about a young man whose father was the head of ISIS in a particular area of Iraq, and his father actually put him to death. And you would think that would be so depressing. Instead, it was so inspiring.
Now, we had an opportunity to meet the author of the book, and apparently you had already met Tom's wife, Joanna.
Right. Which I might mention, she'll be speaking at the Calvary Chapel Women's Retreat in November, the 4th through the 6th. She's going to be our main speaker, and I heard that she is
Yeah.
Powerful. I can't wait.
Yeah. Amazing couple. And Tom, mm-hmm. his whole story, his whole testimony, and just how God has led him all over the Middle East. And, you know, he wrote this book to a large degree from firsthand experience.
He did.
So, great book, Killing Christians.
Killing Christians by Tom Doyle.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for dropping by the studios and discussing this month's resource, Killing Christians, Keeping the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe, which is our gift to you for the month of August for a donation of any size to Back to Basics. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.